Wish I remembered. So something beautiful seals in the
code. Oh, do you need a sticky?
I have one. Thanks to you, actually. I have yours still somewhere.
Okay, good, good, good. Thanks. Oh, you want to start with the name of the course?
Yes. What was the name again? It was a great name. I just remember it was a good name.
Thought we said it was the source of...
There we go. Let's call it the source. Outsourcing, we'll call it.
The source of Jewish holidays.
Excellent. There we go. Excellent. Sounds great. Okay, so we are... Source of Jewish holidays, Be'ez Hashem. We're trying a little something about it, trying to get somewhere with it.
So we covered the immorality in Egypt, mm-hmm. and trying to compare it with what we have today.
Oy. I'm not sure what's worse. Hard to know. In a way, they're worse. In a way, we're worse. It's all coming around.
I mean, the Jews were in the 49th level of, how would you say,
tumor? Impurity, yeah.
Impurity. But we didn't have the Torah. Now we have the Torah, mm-hmm. Well, we're a lot lower, aren't we?
That's what the Rechaim HaKadosh says. He says, we can handle 50 when you have the Torah. Without the Torah, you get to 50, you're dead. If you have the Torah, you can handle anything. That's what he says, so that's all sort of way discouraging. He said, oh, no, I'm 53 behind. Like, what? Like, minus 53 below, and like, I can claw up somehow, like, good luck, you know? Well, yeah, that's it's hard to work out where we are, where they are. The truth is that... One of the functions of all these levels we're learning about, we're learning about all these different levels, katnus, and gadlus, and like diminished states of consciousness, and higher states of consciousness, this aspect of trying to be, again, right? I will be, I'm getting ready to be, and then the shema vayu kivav kei, which when you connect it there, you're living in the instant, wonderful, wonderful. What is the purpose of all these levels? So the Rizal says, it's very simple. If you had this like generator of spirituality on you, so what happened is if you made a mistake, you would sully all these millions of sublime levels and really make big damage. So what happens is that when a person is about to make a mistake and fall, he gets what was called the spirit of folly, right? A ruch shtut, and he falls. A person can't be in absolute mental clarity and make a mistake. It's possible, but usually he has to be a very big tzaddik because he's just not sure what to do. A very righteous, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have any, his body is like, Rav Nosson describes these things. Like, it sounds like this person who's like tzaddik is like, he has absolutely nothing of this world. He really feels that. So, I don't know, I'm sure there are maybe people around who they are on that level, but like for me.
People who did that by accident. It's like almost by accident, but they made it.
Yeah, there were those who made it. There were those who made it. But like for us, I mean, at least for me, it's like look at you say, what a place to get to. You know, it's like, what a place to get to. I'm so happy just to have any kind of connection to such great people. Because we're still working on a little bit of the angel, that basically is the blood coursing through the body. Usually like, hey, it wants this, it's angry, it's jealous, it's this, it wants this thing, it's this, I'm tired, blah, blah, and like forgetting about Hashem and like, connection in a real way. It's just not that we're just not nearly there. So we get the spirit of folly. That's what makes us enables us to fall. When I eat the extra piece of cake, when I yell at my friend for no reason, when I take offense at something which really wasn't meant offensively, it's the other person's in the pain or whatever it is. So what happens is when I react without thinking, that's called the spirit of folly. That's a ruch shtut.
A ruch shtut.
It's a spirit of folly. It means that I'm just like I'm not. Thinking, I don't have any shkodat. I don't have any clarity of what I want to do. If someone would ask me, so you know, this is what happened, and my wife said, and my friend said, and my coworker said, blah 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 blah. The bus driver said, so I would tell them, well, don't relax. Listen, I realize, you know what he means. But I give a long discussion. I can write a monologue about it. It would be very beautiful, and inspiring. But when I'm in the situation, so I get this special little ruach shtut, this real spirit of folly, and I react. And afterwards, I analyzed how badly did I mess up.
Is the example of the Shevetim that messed up with Yosef HaTzadik?
That, right. That's different. That's
that kind of example.
It's hard for us to understand where they were. We don't get where they were.
You want to give them a little background?
Where the Shvatim were, we are. We've spoken already about what it means to have a Jewish soul. A Jewish soul is a calling. It's a soul that's activated, it's actualized, it's very strong, and it's on fire, whether you like it or not. And again, sometimes the fire could be negative. It could be a minus. He's the best criminal in the world because he's the best he's the best gambler in the world because he's Jewish and he's got that drive. I mean, that's not so good. I mean, that might not be so good. I mean,
$50 billion.
Then he's right, exactly. Who knows what? And then who knows whatever else? So wherever else, you can't talk to him. Like Yonah said, the prophet Yonah. He said, "I don't want to." The Jews. If I talk to the non-Jews, they'll listen. The Jews, they'll never listen. Forget it. No point. I don't even want to bother wasting my breath. I'm trying and trying. It's a waste of time.
Fire can cook or fire can destroy.
Oh, Hashem Yirachim.
A laser can heal, a laser can kill.
Hashem Yirachim. It's true. Very true. So Yonah said, I'm not gonna bother, and I don't want to tell the non-Jews because I'm gonna make the Jews look bad. So the Yerushalmi says Jews are non-Jews are closer to repentance than Jews. They might not hold on. Like the Medrash says, the people of Minbay, they repented a strong repentance. It lasted about 40 days. Then they went back to exactly the old ways, exactly the same. Same old, same old. But we're still here. Thousands of years later, we're strong when we're strong. We're strong. But so there's something on fire there. That's an activist. Now, how did we get that? What gives that stuff?
I'm still trying to chew.
Oh, that's true, too. But so Ninveh, who's ever heard of the holy people of Ninveh? What are their rules? It's somewhere, what, Baghdad or somewhere? Like Iraq somewhere? No one's heard of them. No one knows what they're... They went back to, like anyone else, Bedouins or whatever they were, until Muhammad came and civilized them to some extent. But...
Yeah, but wasn't he like a pedophile and... Mm-hmm. You know, did all these.
Yep, but he might have stopped human sacrifice. He might have made more organization. I mean, he did some positive things. He did nothing. He did, you marry. I don't know. He did different things. For his time, he was very enlightened. For today, maybe we wouldn't think of some of what he says. Like he just mentioned those things, are not exactly. We recognize that people have rights. And as I mentioned before, it could be that the character of souls in general are changing very much. The question is, what does that mean? But like, people wouldn't have felt that way. If you would have talked to someone, the way it seems is that, let's say you could go back in time, and you knew the language, and you understood the culture of these people, you could never convince them that you're right. Because they knew inside that you were wrong. Because at that time, that's where the kid did not have a right. It's not true. It's not like twice. Like not quite so linear like people think. You just talk to them, and then they become. That's also today. People who are still further in the 7th century, so it's not so good. They're gonna maybe misuse things, and that's kind of sad, very sad. But anyway, so how do we get to a place where our souls are activated? What did that? I mean, everyone who looks is a Jewish soul doing things that nobody can go. It's unbelievable. No one understands how it could be. So what did that? What is that? So what that is first of all the forefathers Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They brought something into the world. They ingrained within us something that became part of our very nature, part of our souls. Now, the ones who continued their work were the Shvatim. These were the 12 tribes. Yaakov, it said he brought down a very, very wondrously high level, so that his children were only thinking about Hashem all the time, just like him, only Hashem. The thing is, Yosef was no higher level. And they didn't get that. That was a mistake. And Yosef, they figured, he's competing. He wants to rule us. He didn't want to rule them. He just had a function of Mashiach ben Yosef. He had to set Egypt up for them. He had to bring Hashem into the world in a very dynamic way to set the stage for everybody else to come. They didn't understand who he was. They didn't understand what he was about. And so they made some serious mistakes. But we don't want to judge the tribes. We don't understand where they were. We have no idea where they were. Any of them. We don't begin to know. I mean, it's even...
I read a simple interpretation that might be understandable for... It said that they were shepherds, and they saw Yosef Tzadik was talking about going to the city. And that was a big, major shift from being an agricultural society to being a city society.
I doubt it.
So there was an...
I highly doubt that.
So they saw him...
Highly doubt it. I highly doubt that. I don't know.
Because
I would like
to have
a source for that.
The way of life was very simple. You could
Yosef had some problems. You also said, on the contrary, why are you guys so urbane? Why are you talking to these women? You're doing business with women. It's not in accordance with your level. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's just business. No, you. On a higher level, it's better for you not to. That's what he felt, right or wrong. And for him, he was right. For them, maybe wrong. But that's how that was one problem he had. He had another problem. He felt that in terms of rituals, Florida, they were making a mistake, and he was thought that they were looking down to people, at their brothers. Looking down. This is all wrong. Now, that was the basics of their dispute. One of the basic things of their dispute. Also, their father was very, very, well, he was very close because he saw that he had special calling. They didn't understand this. And they were jealous that he wants him to be in charge. He's not even the firstborn. Why should he be? Why? Because he's the son of Rachel or Rachel. I'm like, who cares? From our perspective, we don't care. So that was their way of seeing things. So they were part of, anyway, making us who we are today. When we say Shemoneh Esrei, we talk about the Avos in the first bracha. It's called Avos. Right? We speak Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the next 12 brachas after the first three, right? We ask for understanding, that's Reuven. And we ask for tshuva, that's Shimon. We ask for forgiveness, that's Levi. It's all those 12, all the tribes. That's how blessings play. So we're accessing their level. And each thing we're asking Hashem to bring into my life, I'm doing this in order to get to a different level of one of these 12 tribes. So they were the conduit to bring down Hashem into the world. Now, Yitzchak and Avram couldn't, because they had their children. It wasn't all the way. It was one yes and one no. One didn't find his calling. Yishmael found his calling eventually, but it was too late to become like Yitzchak. He died righteous because he repented, but he couldn't become like Yitzchak. And Esau did not repent. So they were not able to bring in the Shekhinah like Yaakov. They couldn't bring the divine presence like Yaakov. Now, what that means practically, of course, without them, Yaakov was like sitting on their shoulders. Without their work, he couldn't either. He was the next level, and he was able to bring it to perfect it. Now it's the way it ought to be. Great. So they were a great part of the Jewish people with these 12 tribes. That's where every month, wherever we are accessing a different level, a different tribe. Who is this tribe? Who is that tribe? Where are we? What are we? Where? That's where we are. That's what we're trying to do. So we don't even understand how extremely bound up any spiritual level is with some of one of these bechinas, one of these aspects. I think we'll talk about it one day. What are these? How did the brachas correspond to the tribes? What is it? Very beautiful, inspiring. The piece of the Kutalach is very, very powerful. But right now, we know that's what gave us the power, the staying power to hold on no matter what. So we have all these many levels. So sometimes we have, like we said, he's like a baby. He has nothing. He's got no head. You just give him his chips, give him his screen today, it's your screen, give him your game, whatever it may be, give him your drink, whatever, all the different people, like, whatever his desire is. And he's like, got a one-track mind, he can fix anytime, that's all he wants. He's like a baby for that now. He's not really, so he's not blemishing any big levels, which he has potentially. They run away from him because he's filled with, enveloped by a spirit of the Father. We learn the Zohar, right? The person does whatever he does, it throws away all the higher levels, and he gets the wrong start of the things. That's what he wants.
That's when he's doing the spiritual folly.
Even when he's ready to do it, he gets the spiritual folly. As a matter of fact, who was it? Maybe the Kashitzer. I don't remember. The Piazetzer brings that Rebbe in the Warsaw Ghetto. This is a very powerful thing. He says, we don't understand. Like, when you look at it, you don't get it. You look and you say, okay, I do it a sin. You want to tell me I made a mistake? I may misjudge because I have a spirit of following me, and that's not really me. Why am I responsible for when I do things that are incorrect? I have a spirit of folly. So you're responsible for letting the spirit of folly take you in. Why are you letting it in? Don't let it in. Take it out. That's your responsibility. But when you fall, it's like it gets very, very hard. Endless self-sacrifice to break out of that. It can be very hard. When you want your screen, when you want your bag of chips, when someone got you upset and you want to yell and scream at them and you don't do it, it's a very, very big level of sacrifice. The Ravid says that a person who wants to have that last bite of food He wants to engage and indulge in something material, and he overcomes that, especially if he really wants it strong. He said, that's like bringing a sacrifice to Hashem. It's a very, very big level. It's just saying, I'm not having that. That's my food. I'm not gonna yell down. I'm not gonna act upset, even though the person said something to get me upset. They didn't mean to, or whatever, or they didn't mean to. I don't have to react to them. It's very hard, it's worthwhile if you can do it. If I can do it, it's wonderful. So that's why we're learning about all these levels, because slowly but surely, as we leave Egypt, we have to bring the levels in and hold on to them and preserve them and not let them go away, not let them to naught. So it says, after we had like this, we had Katniss Rishon, that's what we were. We had this diminished level of consciousness, the first level, diminished level. This level of consciousness we spoke about before. That's when we're trying to get ready to live, to be. So it says, then, Achaka Gadlus Rishon, a person gets the first level of expanded consciousness. What does that mean? They mochin pinim shelahem shel naida abba. In the soda virus. Get this deeper level of the lower aspect of the beginnings of the tshuva and of qualification to Hashem. So when you access to these two different spheres, two different worlds, so you're able to start to live in the instant. That is the shame of life. I'm going to be still kindness, reflexively. I don't care. It's going to be just part of who I am. I live in the now. I live for kindness. That's why I live. That's what it's about. And the same with kosher good living. Everything is one. Like we saw last time. It's like a duality. Kindness to the person. It's not kindness to me. I'm confused. I'm not just looking for Hashem. I'm just trying to wait for him to show me. What do I do? How do I do it? So then I'm not getting clarity. I'm not really living now with Hashem. I'm trying to. It's all okay. I don't care. Like, it's such a deep concept. It's not sure what to do. So there's no joy. Like, realizing, what should I do when you didn't know? He said, well, what does that tell you about a person who's not sure what to do? It sounds like it's like the worst torture. And we know this. And you say, should I do it? Is this right? Is this wrong? So Rasa says, you have a connection to Hashem. When you connect to the Shem of Bai that they're talking about, the person says, I don't care which one I do. Because either one, I'm just going to have in mind that I want to do what Hashem wants. And that if it works out to me, then I realize that I'm making a mistake, so then I'll flip it. I'll do the other way. Because I don't know what to do. So just say, please show him what to do. It's only your decision. Even if you're making a mistake, you still don't want to show him much because that's your intention, that's your focus. You don't know what to do. So you're okay. So that's its beginning. That's called living in the shameless instant. You're with Hashem. You're not bothered. You're not tortured. You have this deep serenity. You have this connection to what you choose. You're fighting for Hashem. Everything is balanced. You know when to apply it in a particular characteristic and when not to apply it. When do I use my holy chutzpah and when don't I? When do I, etc.
Aren't you supposed to walk around with that all the time?
We're trying. We're working on it. Yes.
Right? So that as long as you're doing an action with that as your intention, then it's okay, even though it might not be you can see that it's not working when you want to, but it's still okay.
Usually. Unless you use it, like as always. Arrogance, there's no protection from arrogance and from lies. There's no protection.
Arrogance
and falsehood, there's no protection. So the person could say, well, I need to take it to a movie and then hang out at a bar. And, well, maybe I should. No. Either way, blah, blah, you know. So that's obviously probably misused. I mean, I don't know, but probably. So when someone else can say, I don't think that's the ruts in the ship. No, why not? You know, so it starts to get to a point again. Maybe it depends on the person. Maybe he does it. I don't know. You can't make a decision. When those things are tough decisions, what's prohibited in the Torah is prohibited in the Torah. Even that, it really depends on the person. It depends on what he's going through. You can't tell a person who's just starting or who's got a challenge about something. Your feelings of challenge are invalid. I mean, it's not. It doesn't help. It doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. The person says, "Yeah, but." So for some reason I was traumatized and doing this makes me feel like I just want to I can't live this way, so you gotta work on it. And I feel bad for you and we can't decide it, like Nachman says, and always very important to stress, you don't understand another human being enough to judge him. You have to be in his place, meaning from where he's born to everything he went through. And the only way he can do that is the one who's called the Makom place, his name is Hashem. Nobody else can do that. So we don't know what's going on. You know, I spoke to people who wanted to convert to Judaism. And first thing, they're very upset. Converted, not Orthodox. You converted not Orthodox. I converted Reform, I converted Conservative, and you're Orthodox, and you invalidate my spirit. You say what I did is worthless. It's worthless. It's meaningless. And that really takes me off. Because, you know, I mean, I did my best. This is the decision I made. Orthodox, I don't know, left me cold. So what am I supposed to do? I want to be Jewish. So I'm not Jewish. I'm not good enough. What do you want from me? So I explained to the president, first of all, you're making a very big mistake if you're telling me how I feel, because I know how I feel. You don't know how I feel. So I'll tell you how I feel. I feel that every good thing a person does with sincerity, it forges an internal connection to Hashem, Jew or non-Jew. It's just the way it is. That's what Rabbi Nachman said. Ram Chas is a two. There's a lot of deep sources proving this and saying this. From various angles, it's clear. From the Talmud, if you understand what's going on. So, whatever you did sincerely, and I'm sure it was all sincere, is unbelievably precious. Does it make you a Jew? No. It doesn't make you a Jew. That's a different story. And maybe you're just not hoping by doing it that way. A lot of people have a process. They go through Reform Conservative. Some people, that's how they can stay, and they did their best. And they, well, every aspiration, every desire is forever, like the Zohar says. Every desire is forever. If you had a good, sincere desire, even if you did not do anything else, but you really wanted to be good, not out of guilt, you just really wanted to be good, so that's forever. So every bit of that's eternity, and that's wonderful. Sometimes a person can't go through, like you said, I feel cold, I just can't get into it, I can't do it. So then you do it your best, you do what you can. And, you know, how do I know if I can or I can't? Well, like, again, if you feel like you're cold and you don't know what's going to happen, you have heart failure, if you go to the shul or you do this, you do that, I guess it's not for you right now. I mean, like, obviously, you're just not there. And or stuck on a patria. Hashem does not, he's not a tyrant. Hashem does not hold us to things we can't do. It's the same thing also in terms of keeping Torah. We have to do our best. We can't be in a place where I feel like I'm just not holding there right now. And again, it's very easy to be insincere. The person says, no, I'm not holding there, so I'm gonna do this and do that. Do I have to text on Shabbos? I just can't handle it. I mean, like, usually you probably could. I mean, again, I don't want to judge anyone. But, like, usually you probably could handle it. You could probably could. I mean, it's so bad. It's not that bad. Yeah, maybe it's an addiction. I don't know. But I'm just saying it's not a serious thing. Shabbos is also very, very serious. You have to know it. I can't judge another person. That's the bottom line. And that's where things are. So we have to realize that. We have to just try to make sure I profane Hashem's name, and try to ask Hashem, please help me. Like, I'm not crazy. I'm texting on Shabbos. I'm like, what is wrong? I just can't believe this. I need to find help. I need to find a way to get out of this. I can't believe this. This is crazy. It is really crazy. So we have to be careful not to validate something that's not good if the person can overcome it. But we also can't condemn something that's maybe objectively not good. And the person's also not holding by dealing with it. He just can't do it right now. And it could be he can. I don't know. How would I know?
But how does that differ from someone who's been given a con job?
Meaning?
If you want to convert, and the only option you have from the leadership that you go to is Reform, and you know that there's something better.
Why do I know there's something better? Who said it better? Because they might be more authentic. Okay, my rabbi says not. But she knows better. I trust her.
No, but...
No, really. Like, that's what the person will say. I trust my rabbi. She knows better. And maybe she does. She's very brilliant. She knows a lot more Jewish stuff than I do. Why should I trust her? Or him, or whoever. Whatever. Like, I don't know.
Because you've been to a Chabad Shabbaton, and you realize the difference
between
really
nine and like that. It spoke to me. It was something special. But I don't know, these guys, you know, they're nuts. I mean, like, whatever, what is going through the person's head? I mean, I don't say that, God forbid. I'm just saying, so they've got, like, their excuses. He or she has his or her excuses. And we wish them well, and maybe one day they'll come to it. And you meet a lot of people that came to it later, and they figured it out, like, yeah. This is really not authentic. And again, very often it's from the Chabad, like, listen, we don't judge you, we love you, but, like, I can't take the dominion, but forget it. Oh, wait, you got
but they still moved you from where you were.
Yeah, no, exactly, that's the thing. That's the thing, that's what we want to validate.
And so what I said was, I simply went through all the steps for the Reform conversion, passed all the tests with flying colors and simply told them, it's not for me. And kept on studying.
Great. Excellent. Way to go.
Didn't step on anyone's toes. Didn't say, you know, it's like...
You did better than most then. Want me to do a slideshow to make me Jewish? What are you, nuts? I went, well, whatever. Anyway, yeah, I met someone like that. Slideshow? That's ridiculous. What does that mean? It doesn't have any meaning. That can't be true. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, that was... I don't know if everyone has the same song. They may have other standards. I have no idea.
I mean... The Holocaust studies I had at a certain college is pure, how should I put it, garbage? I mean, right from the Heleny textbooks, bad-mouthing, whatever.
That's simple. Not simple. Ashrefa, you're understanding enough to figure out what's what. But a lot of people aren't. They don't really know. It's what's very, always struck me, I haven't had in a while, but I used to have these guests from the Kotel on Shabbos. Sometimes it was their first Shabbos, sometimes it was whoever, religious, non-religious, whoever they sent me. So I noticed a pattern. I kept meeting people learning Jewish studies or Talmud or whatever in the university. And if they had any exposure to, if it's Chabad, if it's Nachasi, people real learning, genuine, I'll call authentic or call it maybe old-fashioned learning, like the way they always used to do it, however you want to say it, started to feel that what they were learning was shallow compared to what they saw. And they couldn't even articulate, so why is it? What exactly is the difference? I don't know what the difference is. I enjoy one, and now that I see one, I realize the other one is just empty. And I'll say a million times empty. I'm dying to go to the Kollel, the community Kollel, and I can't wait to get this stupid professor off my back. Good riddance. And I'm going to learn something like worthwhile. I don't know, mathematics, anything, philosophy. Not Jewish. You guys don't understand Jewish. And I don't know why. Not sure why. Why is it? Because it's not. I believe they're focused on the stupid minutia and not like what's really going on, and that it's from a shell. And I don't know why, but I know I can't stand it. I just heard this again and again and again. It's like a tape. It's like, wow. Some of these people learning without exposure or to meet these other guys.
You hit it right on the nail.
You know, and you just kept hearing it again and again. I can't stand it anymore. I hate it. I used to love it, and then it was like, there's just nothing there. No content. I don't know. It's like, no content. And yes, again, the Torah, if you're not learning the Torah to connect to Hashem, you're learning the Torah like it's a man. So it's very shallow. It's very sad. You know, the focus is not on the content. The focus is always on the average. Is it this? Who was this one? Who was that one? Okay, but what is it saying to you? We don't care what it's saying to you. Is it this? Is it that? Is it something always about that? Not really. What's going on? Really, the deepest, the cut. Like, what is it telling you? What does it mean? We don't care what it means. We're just analyzing it.
And what worries me is what's being covered on the big roof now in high school. I mean, for Dati Lumi. I mean, my girls were raised in a Jewish household. They went to Jewish schools in L.A. We weren't that, you know, we weren't Beis Yaakov material. But it's like, now they're in a Dati Lumi school. They're doing wonderfully. But I wonder what, you know, they're getting at, you know, what they're being prepared for in the goods.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of we are Beis Yaakov, but my girls do two bagruts. My daughter did all the bagruts. Did them all. Two of them, and they're pretty rigorous. I mean, some was a little bit of a joke, truly. Some wasn't. It depends.
I mean, yes, we would love to burn down the Ministry of Education, especially when they screwed up my girls' big root scores. But it's one fantasy we'll put aside.
That's so easy. This is Israel. I will meet lots of people saying, I wish I could just burn this building. I hate to say it. They just make me crazy. Oh, no, sir, you need another paper. I asked you about that. You said no. No, but now I'm saying yes. See, it's in the, like, and I don't even hear you. I'm sorry. I'm gonna come back here in 3 hours because you stupid cat threw me this dumb paper. Is that if you don't have it, then you need to bring it. Now, don't you? You don't even get it. You don't even get it. Okay, yeah, and then when you get used to it, you're here for 20 years. It's like ready. Oh right, that's like yeah. I'm expected to come back. That's like for sure. If I don't come back, it's just a pleasant. It's like a gift. Like a little. And like, it was a freebie. Wow, I don't come back again.
We're over here, Dash. We've been here for like 3.5 years, and it's just like gradually getting you.
Yeah,
it's like my wife and I don't speak Hebrew at all. It's just like my girls are gradually beginning to speak.
Pick it up, yeah. It's not easy. No, it's not just totally just endless stories, endless. And you just oh, now I'm good. But if I tell them this, maybe they won't rip me off the 4,000 shekels by telling them they can help me because they want to have a choice. So tell them this, and then it's like a whole crazy story. It's crazy, endless stories. Like it's just, it's like, this is going to take all day, right?
Yep.
All day. See, all day. Oh, no. Well, actually, it's okay in this one. No, these guys know what they're talking about. It would have been fine. Like, you know, you're sitting there and sitting there. And that's the way it is.
And then Zabrishan, their draft notes.
Oh, yeah. Impossible. There's nothing you can do. You just, it's Hashem's land. You have to take it and just, you know, go on.
It builds Emunah.
That's right. It builds Emunah. See, this is okay. Thank you, Hashem. This is what I need. That's where it goes. Hopefully we won't act with a ruch of ruchdus, no folly, hopefully. And if we do, okay, apologize and go on. That's it. So after the Shemaya. So v'achach gadus rishon, hen mochin primim shel hem shel harem. So v'achach choyza dikach halavushim achitzon shel chagat ha'ab v'ima, v'likbe kat nishene. Ah. V'chil l'shem et l'kim, v'chil l'shem achat. V'yitzarach m'shem l'kim. Then we get the real, what we're really looking for on Pesach. We really want to get this consciousness that's so sublime, it's completely beyond our level. Totally beyond. Also diminished that's beyond, also expanded that's beyond. That's what we need in the Seder. And that's what we want to make part of who we really are by the time we make Matan Torah. We want to get to Shavuos and take the next level and free. I want to get free of all this. I don't want a guy who has a problem with avarice, he's got a money problem, I don't want this anymore. Guy who's got a lazy problem, I want to be more alacrity. Again, with balance. But like every person with all of our problems, whatever they may be, but I've got a problem keeping Shavuos, well, it's time to keep Shavuos. Everyone has their own, whatever their problems may be, we have to work very hard on them. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that this has come up before. We've spoken about this, but Reb Chaim Vital explains that good character traits are the foundation of the Torah. So, and in a certain way, a person with bad character traits, it's worse than any sin, because they cause everything bad. That doesn't mean we can only focus on character traits and not keep Torah. We have to keep Torah too. We have to realize that the bottom line is like the character traits are always like, why does a drug addict steal? Because of his, he doesn't want to steal. He's just desperate. Why is this person cheating? Because he's desperate for money. Why is this person doing all sorts of like insulting his friend and embarrassing people? And whatever, you can list the sin after mistake, after mess up, after error, because he's angry, because he's jealous, because he doesn't have this, because he doesn't have that. So it all comes down to his character traits, which are leading a person on. Now, the time had actually a parable to explain this. He said, you know, it's like if you have a bunch of people that want to go to a fair that's one time a year to make a livelihood, buy stuff for the whole year, they'll make a livelihood. And they finally, almost there, they're getting there, and they get up. You just have to get there, but they're not able to find the way. And there's snow on the floor, and they get the first wagon driver who's half drunk. And he leads them wherever he leads them, and they don't get to the fair. He says, you have to realize that the source of why they didn't make it was that they didn't get direction. They didn't have a way to get there. Their driver wasn't right there. Whatever it was, they had no way of making it. So you can't avoid figuring out and fixing the source. What is my problem? There's a source. If I don't deal with the source, I'm just going to keep on repeating the same problem again and again. And I don't understand. Again, angry. Again, I'm this. Again, I'm that. What happened? Again, I'm I feel like I can't move. I can't learn like I'd like to learn. I can't die like I'd like to die. I can't do what I need to do. Why not? I really want to. Well, you have the same old problem, which is getting in the way and putting my thought patterns in a particular pathway, which is not such a good pathway, and I'm taking it anyway. So we want to get to this place where we're able to access a higher light that's so much higher than just that next level. I want to bring it in and make it part of me. That's what I want to do. And that's the cup, this Shani and the God of the Shani.
You know, I've never read these books about spheros.
Mm-hmm.
Where one sphera, whatever it might be, you know,
mm-hmm.
work,
mm-hmm.
okay, money, which I've never read anywhere where there's got to be like 100 parts of that. You know, so which part do you try to access first? I mean, they use one word for sphera, but there's 100 parts to that.
Okay, that is a very wonderful question. And the answer is, the entire Seder takes me to a place which is divided up into many, many, I don't have the chart here. Okay, many, many segments. Each of these segments we're now learning, this is like the basics. The next chapter is going to be about the night of the Seder and the four cups. The four cups, well, this cup is this aspect, this cup is that aspect, this cup is the other aspect. You have to like really, and then during the Seder, during the sphere, we're getting a different, one day is going to be this cup, one day is going to be this cup. Rebuilding that and trying to internalize that, which means stuff in terms of combination of bringing godliness in me in a particular way each day. So maybe we'll talk about that if we learn about sphere, because it's a very, you really are, I mean, I had a teacher, and I loved this, it was beautiful, you literally spent a lot of time learning about the Seder. And then he just said, okay, now I'm going to review for you, right, and we did then with the Sphere Omer. He said, now we review Sphere Omer, so take out the chart for the Seder with the matzahs, the picture of the matzahs, and the cup, it's like 2 pages. And we're going to review that, and he'll say, this is day one, is this part, and this is here, and then he pointed out each and every, where is this, and why is this? And it was unbelievable. That's really powerful. And you're right. There is a particular way to try to do it. I mean, we can lose track of the main thing, which is just giving your heart to Hashem, however you do it. That's for sure. You can't. The point of learning about the deeper, what we're trying to learn is to try to realize, like the Magid of Mizrich said, people learn about this, even if they're not thinking about it during the Seder, let's say. Well, when you learn about it, you say, wow, matzah and mortar, like, and the wine is like, whoa, where are you going? Who knows what you're doing with this? It's unbelievable. So that's very helpful to really, I mean, I find, if I haven't learned it, it's been a while, Baruch Hashem, but if I don't make an effort to learn this, whatever I learn, it's something fall short, because I don't, it's not reconnecting to what's really going on. The more we learn about it, the more we see about it, the more it's like, it's real, it's something very, very real and powerful happening now. And if we just connect to it, we can go to the highest places. But we have to be careful, like, I think I might have mentioned the story, I'll remember. Kalina told of two brothers. One brother was a simple tailor. The other brother was an accomplished Kabbalist. That doesn't mean he did anything practical. He just knew how to learn. He was a pretty accomplished scholar, and he knew all the different aspects. And you know, he studied Arizal. So after the first Seder, the two met in shul. So the Kabbalist brother, he said, "He's so happy. He was smiling." His brother said, "How are you? You look so happy. Wow, so unusual for you. So happy." He said, "Yeah, last night. I'm telling you. Well, maybe we'll learn it." He said, "The kavanot, the things you're supposed to think about Pesach, are so complex. They're so complex. You make kiddush. Don't think this. Do think this. Don't think this. It's not usual order. It's the opposite of what you'd expect. Because you have to get a big light and then a little light and then this and then you can bring this and then that." He said, "I always mess it up. I never ever have a straight run. I just can't do it." He said, "Now, this year, for the first time ever, I got everything right. I'm just so happy. The first time when I did my matzah, when I did my kiddush, whatever I did, I had the right thoughts, the right intentions." So his brother, the tailor, he said, "Well, that's great, but you know." And then his face also lit up. He said, "I also had a really great seder. I don't know about your kavanot, arizal. I don't know this stuff. All I thought the whole time was, thank you so much, Hashem, for taking me out of Egypt. You took us out of Egypt. Thank you so much." And his brother, Kabbalah, said, "Oh, man, I forgot that one.
We can't forget that. That's the main. That's what we want to remember. I want to get out of its mind. I want to serve Hashem. We can't be so complicated that we'll forget the essential. But on the other hand, even though I want to remember the essential, I want very much to connect to Hashem, to do everything I need to do. One of the best ways of doing it is learning about different aspects and applying them in whatever way I can. So that's what we're trying to do. So we want to get to these two different aspects. This Bechina, which is called the constricted consciousness, which is the second level. That's higher than the first level of expanded consciousness. So that's higher. That's the, we take the Shem Elokim and we go back. In other words, we are sweetening the Shem Elokim. The Aleph Beis, the way it works is, every letter that's closer to Aleph is higher. So when you have a word, you can know a little bit about the word just by what is the order? What does it start with? What does it end with? How does it go? So when you take a word and you flip the letters to the letter earlier on the head of it, that means that it's higher. So diminished consciousness from the second level is Elokim, just like the diminished consciousness of the first level, except it's sweetened and it becomes much, much higher. So what you do is you take an Aleph and you go to the letter before Aleph. What's the letter before Aleph?
Tough.
You would think so. But Tough represents the lowest level. And Aleph represents the highest level along with Hashem. So the Ari explains that there is no letter before Aleph. So therefore it flips to Aleph. That's what he says. Although you would think so, and sometimes they flip. But this, in this particular Mahalath, this particular way of doing it, is that you can't flip to letter head because there is no letter head. Aleph is one without any garment. Bays, there's something. The top is 400 levels removed, so they cannot become. That's how he explains. The truth is, you're right also, because on the next level, when you're in an Aleph, on the lower level, you hit the tough on the next level. But he's talking about in terms of when you're doing your best, you have the Aleph, so it stays Aleph. I want to sweeten the Aleph, it stays Aleph. Because I'm trying to sweeten whatever level I'm on, I'm not moving up to the next total world. I'm just in this place, and Aleph becomes Aleph. Then I have Lamed. Before Lamed is Chaf. Then I have a He. Before He is Dalet. Then I have a Yud. Before Yud is Tes. And then I have a Mem. The Mem is the end Mem. Before the end Mem is a regular Mem. And that also reverts to end Mem because it's at the end of a word. So that is what we have in mind when we deal with this aspect of the second aspect of constricted consciousness. And that means a person took judgment and he totally is winged it. He's totally in a different place. He's just somewhere else. Sometimes we're like elating the word, just you can spend a few days being somewhere totally different. And that's what Pesach is really we're supposed to be at. We're supposed to access then. This just elation and joy and freedom from all of our restrictions. Leaving the shrine. It's much higher. And then the premise of the other aspect is also Shemavaya, because I'm living in the moment on a totally different level. On the Kaddish Risha Vashem Shem, Bechiz Lelushi Nai Bechagat, Kaddish Risha Vashem Atzal, Visham Shem Bemok Amokha Shalazo, Beit Kaddish Rose, Yishef Rish Bim Kaddish Nai, Lechagat Rish. Chakach Ola Amir Aches, Okay, eventually we're going to get even higher. That's Shavuos. We're going to take this, during the Sefirah we bring things in, and then Shavuos we get even higher, and we bring things even greater. But that will be Zoch, I hope. Shavuos is not that long. Sefirah, I don't know how we'll learn it. I don't know if we're going to have the time back. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll just sort of go back and from here, sort of like go over it and see what happens. Because we'll have done like a whole week with it. We'll see what happens.
I had to get a new battery for my watch.
Oh, it's 20 after 4.
20 after 4. Okay, so we have a few minutes. So we can do a little bit more than that.
Yeah, 4:18.
Okay. Bida, Shishai Yom Tovin. Ain't a liazon, rak, or rai, tuna, shisham, so, shen, sai. This is its own discussion, that's for sure. Yom Tov, the level, the emotional state, and the level when we don't have the emotional state the way it should be, the Malchus, go to a place that's called the Nahi. Netzach Hod Yisod of Tfuna.
What?
Netzach Hod Yisod of Tfuna, which is Tzad. Now, this is very hard to understand on the surface because Yom Tov Yud Yisod would be higher than most times. And yet, when you're dealing with the Netzach Hod Yisod of Tfuna, I mean, usually you seem to be, that's what we're talking about all the time. That's the interface all the time. So how could Yom Tov not be higher than other levels? It seems very difficult to understand. So the Rosh Hashanah explains, he says, even though it's going to this Nai of Tfuna, well, it's going to a totally, it's affecting things on a totally different level. He said, that's why the Yom Tov, there are three of them. You have Pesach, you have Shavuos, and then you have the process between Rosh Hashanah to Sukkot, which is another one. He said, in the times of our sages, they used to make tables with three legs. The whole world stands on these three pillars. Three pillars of Pesach, and then Shavuos, and then Rosh Hashanah Sukkot, which is Sukkot. So everything stands. So you're dealing with the legs, but it's the foundation of the whole structure. So it doesn't matter where you're reaching.
The whole world.
Yeah, and everything. So therefore, you're reaching Netzach Hod Yisod, which is the feet, but it's the feet, it's not the regular feet you're talking about. It's a different kind of feet. That's what the Rosh Hashanah explains, so it's not a problem. Because anyway, you're dealing with this place that's called this Bechina, which is Tzad. Yom Tov. Yom Tov. Okay. So Yod Vav Mem. Mem is 40, and Yod is, and that's 50, and Vav is 56. And then you have Tov. Tes Vav Beis. So you have Tes and Vav is 15, and Beis is 17. So it basically comes out to be 73. So you see 73, you have to take this aspect of, we'll see what that is in a second, this aspect that's called Sag, and we have to imbue it and add into it another 10, like complete it with another 10 elements. So this Bechina of Sag, as I said before, the letters Sag, as the, I think the Talmud explained, if you flip it around, it comes out to be Gas. Gas means, it even means like, we say a behema gasa, we talk about a big animal, say a very thick-skinned animal. It's like thickness, or it can even mean crass, don't be gas. So the Bechina of Sag is Bechina of Kol Bina, this aspect of, again, tshuva and transcending nature and time, but it's an aspect which is fiery. You feel yourself. You are in a place where you can separate one thing from another, you can understand one thing from another, you say, this is proper, this is not proper, and you just get to a place which you're there, and you're who you should be, you're on the highest place you can be, pretty much, in terms of on fire and knowing yourself, understanding yourself in a good way. So that's this Yom Tov, that's this, but that's also why we drink wine on Yom Tov. It's like if you're a person of the home, you're not going to fall from it. I mean, there are people who said, if the person going to fall from it, don't drink the wine. Grape juice is also good. But if not, so then you can. But there's a Bechina that we want to get that fire and use it right. We want to use it properly. So that's what Yom Tov is about. So usually, that's where Yom Tov go. Right? On my day, Tvila Seinu, Him Olam Ad Amo V'Imo Yiloyim V'Voy Seinu. You go to the higher aspect, which is not only true, because these Bechina, these different aspects of the deep serenity and nullifying yourself to Hashem. Now, that's why it's called Mikroe Kodesh. So Kodesh is this aspect of just nullifying to Hashem, that's separating. Kodesh is separating. Even a person who's separated for not good things is called Kadesha or Kodesh. Sometimes it's not a good Kodesh. A person is separated. You want to get to a place where you're separated from the world, that's Kodesh. And this serenity and nullification to Hashem. We call that Mikroe Kodesh, Yom Tov, we're calling that down into our world in accordance with our efforts. That's what we're trying to do. Shabbos is the opposite. Shabbos, we're kicked up there. We're moved there. We're elevated there. Fine. Shabbos goes to a very high place also. But as its own, Shabbos is its own what happens on Shabbos. He says, so that's usually when you're dealing with Shavuos, when you're dealing with the rest of Pesach, when you're dealing with Sukkot, that's where we are. Lel Seder is an exception. It's something else entirely. Why?
paddling, we were grasped by the other side. We shines in this powerful light.
And we're free. We can leave. We get out. You gotta run. But we can leave. And that's what Russell says. Every time a person wants to choose from something that he feels inextricably bound to, that he's trapped in, Hashem has to, he has to get this place where he gets his light that is his for free. And then you run. Get out. That's what we must explain.
Get out of where?
Get out of where you were, where you are. See, a person is doing something stupid. A person is unable to do something that's good. And he gets this special ore. So now you have the chance to leave Egypt, but get out. Don't stay. Don't look back, even. I mentioned before, he said, don't, it's like stone. Don't run. You run stone, get out. Don't look back. Then later you'll have time. Now it's matzah. Simple. Don't worry about it. Just rush. Go. Flee.
I still remember this. I was introduced to this. It could have been a Breslov guy who certainly not said it. Mm-hmm. We were talking, and I said something. I'm not even aware of what it was that I said, but he ran away from me like this. Well, and I said, I don't want to be Jewish anymore. I mean, a guy runs away like that, you know. We were on the shore. Outside of the shul talking, and I said, "Okay, I might have said the wrong thing. I was inappropriate. Whatever. Why doesn't he say you were inappropriate? You're not speaking right, or whatever."
Unfortunately, I wish I didn't know the answer. The answer is he doesn't know what he should do. He doesn't know what's appropriate. He doesn't understand.
He was a big chassid. He wasn't like he came from a family of chassids. He's like.
People don't. They don't. Understand.
But I have that problem every day. I'm going to shul, where people come in, and all they're doing is talking in the middle of whining.
It's a problem. It's a big problem.
2 points. I shushum nice. They're still going. It got so bad that Shabbos, I simply had to get up, get my hearing protectors on, and grab my sitter and simply say sliha. And leave.
Oh, yeah.
Every Shabbos should do
that?
I mean, well, there are two minions. One is the talking minion and one is the dominating minion. If I miss the dominating minion for some reason, I have to go to the later minion.
Hey, see, I solve all that. I go to a Chabad minion. And you just bury your head in the books. And I have all these books around me for everything. Dominating, lightning, whatever it's going to be. And I just bury my head in the whole thing and I just like focus on that.
That's what I do. What is different? I mean, it's hard. The author, in terms of, first of all, what you were saying, your point, which is a very important point, the author of Kalman says you have to know what's appropriate. He says you cannot get up and cover your ears and embarrass them, even though they're talking Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara is bad news. I mean, we're in the Torah, and Lashon Hara has bad repercussions. Still, he said you have to have enough finesse and sensibility to understand how to change the subject. Sometimes it's really good to just like sort of fall asleep. She makes it sound like, oh, I don't feel well, I have a headache. And you just sort of like drift off. You figure out how to drift off without pushing any buttons the wrong way. And like you're not supposed to just run away. Mishabur even says, the Gemara says you have these parts of the earlobe to put in your ears if someone sees Lashon Hara. He says, but you can't do that today. You're going to embarrass the guy. You can't, nobody. Don't try this. This is not anymore. You're not supposed to like humiliate someone. And, one of the Bali Muslims, he saw something like this. He started to cry. So he said, why are you crying? He said, well, how would you feel if you saw someone shoot the other guy and like kill him? Like that's like killing. Like it's not a joke. He can't just run away. He said, he meant to. He meant well. It doesn't help that he meant well. He meant well. And a guy gets in his car. He shoots off and hits someone. Oh, listen, I was in a rush. I meant well. I don't let him meant well. You have to be more careful.
I just find it's extremely frustrating.
No, the you're right about that. You're right. Matter of fact, the Chida actually says better not to stay there, even. Although, don't go when they're laning. Wait till between at least. Because otherwise, it might be denigrating to the Sefer Torah. That's not good. But maybe even you should skip the laning. I don't know. The Chida says that the Chacham Chaim brings the Chida. Mishmur is a brace of thing. Who says that Zohar says very severe things about talking in shul, and if it's especially if it's bothering you, just better. He's like, don't even bother. He's very sharp. But again, I'm not saying that therefore you're done with the minion. I'm not saying, I don't know. I'm just saying there is basis for a person to make walk out and say, I'm sorry, this is not what Hashem wants. So you guys are doing it, okay, enjoy. I can't stay in a place like this.
No,
I hear that.
There's a guy in our minion. He's Israeli, you know, like a sabra.
Uh-huh.
And was raised at Beer Sharim.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I'm the black sheep of my family because I'm the only one not living here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he has got a beautiful voice, like a high. He never davened Shmuel, but he's got a beautiful voice. And he's our number one talker. And you know, if you say something to him, I never would shush anybody. I can't stand that. But I don't mind saying something to him. Like, would you keep your voice down? Would you go outside? Me? You know what I know?
Oh, no.
No.
No
one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, this one?
I laugh. I think it's very funny that he says it. And,
yeah, I know he knows. When he says that,
see, he's still running away from his parents. Do you know what I know?
Yeah,
he's
still
running away from his parents.
But yes, it's emotional. But yeah, when a person says that, he doesn't. Like you said, he just feels bad. It's not really how he feels. But someone who does. Like,
yeah, but it's driving me nuts.
It's not so easy to deal with. It's not so easy. I don't have a great. What do you do? No. I mean, you don't need to tell me, make the davening minion. Maybe you can't always make the davening minion. Like, I'm not the last person to die. You know, you just smash, you go to sleep, and hopefully you get up. I can't tell someone else, you know, you make the davening minion. You try your best. But,
no, because I was up at midnight trying to do Hasos.
Ashrecha.
Or whatever time it was, I don't even know. You know, it's just, I'm sorry.
It's hard. It's hard. Don't leave when they're laning, no matter what they do. No. You are denigrating the Sefer Torah. You're not allowed. Between people, if you have to go, you can. It's not great either. And maybe you should, even if you know they're going to talk, maybe leave before the Torah reading, before they take out the Torah.
You can't see everybody
who's
talking.
You have to.
It's got
to
be one.
No, he was sitting right next to me. He came in, sat down right when they were starting the Torah reading, and started talking.
He was talking during the Torah reading?
Yeah.
You can ask him to be quiet.
I did.
The Sefer Torah.
I did.
You ought to respond positively to that.
Oh, you were in Israel, my friend. Well,
and
well,
he's
that, not always,
more
not
importantly,
already, like,
he's an American.
Sacrilegious. I don't care where you are. What is where he's from. That's sacrilegious.
You're right.
That's putting your own self above the Torah. You are not allowed to do that.
But he needs to talk. Like, you're right. I'm the last person to say you're wrong. But the guy's got a problem. He feels bad. He needs to. Here I am. I missed the shul. I finally come to the Torah to have a good talk with my buddy. Like, what do you want? I never have any time to see him. It's a long time. Again, I don't know. There's a lot of people like that.
But most guys will not. If they're talkers, they will be quiet in your reading the Torah.
Let's hope so.
You know, they might say something in between.
I wish I was dominating your shul. I'm just kidding. I have a pretty good shul, actually. But I'm just saying, like, you know, yeah, there are. I know there are places that it doesn't work that way, which is sad, and there's no excuse for it. I can't make it appear. I can't say it's okay. It's not okay.
But
what to do about it is not so easy. You can't always. Sometimes it's a mitzvah not to say anything. You're better off not saying anything.
I mean, for me, I have a problem where. I'm very careful with davening, and that when they're calling me, when they're tapping me on the shoulder, call me up, I'm in the middle of Shema.
Oh, no.
And so someone came up to me and said, why didn't you go to dominate and for learning? And so I was in the middle of Shema. And I'm, you know, putting all my concentration in the Shema.
Ashrecha. It's not so simple. It's hard. I mean, in terms of linear halacha, if someone calls you in the middle of Shema, unless you're saying Shema Yisrael, you do go up. You don't tell them to Shabbat, you say Baruch, you can say other things. But now, there is a Torah, it's Chabad actually, other sages, they say like this. They say, you have to know that when you're putting your whole effort into the davening, it's not the same as some guy davening. Because then you're doing the Torah commandment of building your emunah. So then it becomes like a different rule. So maybe you shouldn't go up. I don't know. It's hard for me to tell you. Most people, they should go up in Shmoneh Esrei, not Shema Yisrael, like the first verse, not. But otherwise, you shouldn't go up and say Baruch Hu anywhere you stay. But it's not, I can't tell you. If you're focusing, it's going to get in your way. Maybe not. Maybe ask Rebbe Lindgren. It's a question for sure. But it's not so simple. Ashrecha, you were very fortunate. You put your whole self in the davening. It's not really so easy. It's a big fight. It'd be a big fight. It's a special gift. What cheat? Do it this way. Do this way. Do this way. Do this way. And we try. Yeah, we do better day. Worse day. Fighting. Not mm-hmm. fighting. It's like it's a big struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not so easy. For that person is Zohar. Ah. Sure. We'll probably have to pass it to Joy, Beis Hashem. We'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. But that's when it comes down to the young kids.